Lesson 20, Section 1, Dialogues. Dialogue 1.
Excuse me, but could you tell me the way to the cinema, please?
No, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm a stranger in these parts. But why not ask that man with the beard? He'll be able to tell you, I'm sure.
Which one do you mean?
Look, the one over there by the lamppost.
Ah, yes, I can see him now. Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Dialogue 2.
You're not eating your breakfast.
I don't feel very well.
Oh dear, what's the matter?
I got a terrible headache.
You must go back to bed. You look quite ill.
I don't want to cause any bother. I'd rather work it off.
Out of the question. You must go to bed and keep warm.
Dialogue 3.
I'm sorry to bother you. Can you tell me where War and Peace is showing?
Yes, at the Empire Cinema.
Would you know when it starts?
No, I can't tell you when it begins, but I know how you can find out. It's here in this entertainment's guide.
Can you show me which page it's on?
Certainly, but I'm not sure whether you want to go early or late.
Dialogue 4.
You're up early this morning. Yes, I've been out and bought a paper. Good. Then you'll be able to tell me what the weather's like. It's raining. Oh, dear, not again. Don't worry. It's not nearly as wet as it was yesterday. Thank goodness for that.
Dialogue 5.
Good morning. Can I see Mr. Baker, please?
Have you an appointment?
Yes, at 10 o'clock.
What's your name, please?
Jones. Andrew Jones.
Ah, yes. Mr. Baker's expecting you. Will you come this way, please? Mr. Baker's office is along the corridor.
Dialogue 6.
What does your friend do for a living?
She's one of those persons who look after people in a hospital.
Oh, I see. She's a nurse, you mean?
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. My vocabulary is rather poor, I'm afraid.
Never mind. You explained that very well.
Dialogue 7.
What shall we do this weekend?
Let's go for a swim.
Where shall we go for it?
Let's go to Long Beach. We haven't been there for a long time.
That's a splendid idea. I'll call for you in the car at 11 o'clock. Is that all right for you?
Yes, that'll be perfect. See you tomorrow then. Goodbye.
Dialogue 8.
You have some black walking shoes in the window. Would you show me a pair in size 7, please? Oh, dear. What a pity. There are none left in size 7. Here's a pair in a slightly different style. Can I try them on? Yes, of course. I like these very much. What do they cost? They cost £4.25. Good. I'll have them, then.
Dialogue 9.
Excuse me, but I must say goodbye now.
Can't you stay a little longer?
No, I'm sorry, but I really must go. I shall miss my bus if I don't hurry.
When does your bus go?
At 10 o'clock. Good gracious, it's already 10:15. I'll have to ask you to drive me home.
That's all right, but I hope to see you again soon.
That's most kind of you.
Section 2. A. Preferences.
Which do you prefer, driving a car yourself or being a passenger?
Well, that depends. I enjoy driving, especially on long, empty roads where I can go nice and fast, but I'm not very fond of sitting in traffic jams waiting for lights to change and things like that. I suppose I don't mind being a passenger, but only if I'm sure that the other person really can drive properly.
So you don't really like being in other people's cars, then?
Well, as I say, it's all right with a good driver. Then I can relax, sit back and enjoy the scenery, but yes, you're right. On the whole, I certainly prefer driving to being a passenger.
B. Telephone call.
Hello,
Alan?
This is Colin speaking. Fine. How about you? Good. And how's Bob feeling after his holiday?
I see. I've got quite a lot to tell you. I've just got engaged.
Yes. No, we haven't fixed a date yet. What's she like?
Lovely girl.
We met on a bus, believe it or not. Yes, we just happened to be sitting together and got into conversation. Then we made a date for the same evening and discovered we've got a lot in common. You know, same interests and we laugh at the same things.
No, you don't know her.
At least, she doesn't know you or Bob. Oh, about 3 weeks, huh? Well, yes, it was quite a sudden decision, but I feel really happy. I'd like you both to meet her. Now, how about a meal together one evening soon? Could you ask Bob to ring me? Oh, must go now. My boss has just come into the office. Bye. Oh, thanks. Bye.
C. Old Arthur.
Everyone knows him as Old Arthur. He lives in a little hut in the middle of a small wood, about a mile from the village. He visits the village store twice a week to buy food and paraffin, and occasionally he collects letters and his pension from the post office. A few weeks ago, a reporter from the local newspaper interviewed him. This is what he said.
I get up every morning with the birds. There's a stream near my hut, and I fetch water from there. It's good, clear, fresh water, better than you get in the city. Occasionally, in the winter, I have to break the ice. I cook simple food on my old paraffin stove, mostly stews and things like that. Sometimes I go to the pub and have a drink. But I don't see many people. I don't feel lonely. I know this wood very well, you see. I know all the little birds and animals that live here, and they know me. I don't have much money, but I don't need much. I think I'm a lucky man.
D. The man who missed the plane.
James wrote a play for television about an immigrant family who came to England from Pakistan and the problems they had settling down in England. The play was surprisingly successful, and it was bought by an American TV company. James was invited to go to New York to help with the production. He lived in Dulwich, which is an hour's journey away from Heathrow. The flight was due to leave at 8:30 a.m., so he had to be at the airport about 7:30 in the morning. He ordered a minicab for 6:30, set his alarm for 5:45, and went to sleep. Unfortunately, he forgot to wind the clock, and it stopped shortly after midnight. Also, the driver of the minicab had to work very late that night and overslept. James woke with that awful feeling that something was wrong. He looked at his alarm clock. It stood there silently, with the hands pointing to 12:10. He turned on the radio and discovered that it was, in fact, 9:10. He swore quietly and switched on the electric kettle. He was just pouring the boiling water into the teapot when the 9:00 pip sounded on the radio. The announcer began to read the news.
Reports are coming in of a crash near Heathrow Airport. A Boeing 707 bound for New York crashed shortly after taking off this morning. Flight number 2234.
James turned pale.
My flight,
he said out loud.
If I hadn't overslept, I'd have been on that plane.
E. Dangerous illusions.
Do you mind if I ask you why you've never got married?
Well, that isn't easy to answer.
Is it that you've never met the right woman? Is that it?
I don't know. Several times I have met a woman who seemed right, as you say, but for some reason it's never worked out.
No? Why not?
I'm not really sure.
Well, could you perhaps describe what happened with one of these women?
Yes, there was Cynthia, for example.
And what kind of woman was she?
Intelligent, beautiful. She came from the right social background as well. I felt I really loved her, but then something happened.
What?
I found out that she was still seeing an old boyfriend of hers.
Was that so bad? I mean, why did you feel
she had told me that her relationship was all over, which was a lie.
Are you saying that it was because she had lied to you that you decided to break off the relationship?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And obviously, when I found out that she'd lied to me, I simply couldn't, I simply couldn't trust her anymore. And, of course, that meant that we couldn't possibly get married.
I see. At least I think I do. You said there were several women who seemed right.
Yes.
Well, what happened the other times?
Well, once I met someone who I think I loved very deeply, but, unfortunately, she didn't share my religious views.
Your religious views?
Yes. I expect the woman I finally married to agree with me on such basic things as that.
I see.
Does that sound old-fashioned?
Oh, no. Well, not necessarily. What was her name, by the way?
Sarah.
Do you think you'll ever meet someone who meets, how shall I say it, who meets all your requirements?
Oh. I don't know. How can I? But I do feel it's important not to, not to just drift into a relationship, simply because I might be lonely.
Are you lonely?
Sometimes. Aren't we all? But I know that I can live alone if necessary. And I think I would prefer to do that, to live alone, rather than to marry somebody who isn't really, really what I'm looking for. What I really want.
Section 3. Dictation.
Every colour has a meaning. And as you choose a colour, you might like to remember that it's saying something. We've said that red is lovable. Green, on the other hand, stands for hope. It is tranquil. Pink is romantic. While brown is serious. White is an easy one. White is pure. Orange is generous. Violet is mysterious. Turquoise is strong. And blue is definitely feminine.